Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Dickinson, our super correspondent, who is live from Portland. He will be joining Matt Steinmetz from 5 to 8 with a special edition of the NBA this week. They were on yesterday, 9 to noon, on the website and on the app. If you were tuning in there, you can follow him on Twitter, at JD John Dickinson. John, thank you for the time. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Good to be with you this afternoon before I head on over to the studios here in lovely Portland. Beautiful weather the last couple of days, by the way.
I love it up there. They call it kind of like the the Northwest version of the Bay Area. I visited one time. I actually went to a Blazers game. Amazing atmosphere there. But let's get to what I'm assuming most people listening want to hear. What was the update? What was the status? You saw Curry playing. What it looked like to me, full contact, full strength, 100%, 2-on-2 with the coaches yesterday. What transpired today, and what is his status for tomorrow?
Well, he did go through practice today in Portland on the off day, and he did participate in some 3-on-3 following practice. So usually when everybody shoots, the Warriors grabbed a couple of guys, Ian Clark among them, and he was able to play some 3-on-3 after practice. Now, the Warriors don't scrimmage 5-on-5 in practices after games. So there was no official scrimmage, but he did go through the drills and all the normal things at practice today. However, he's still listed as doubtful for tomorrow, but Steve Kerr said that he came out of everything looking good. So I think the light at the end of the tunnel is there now, I think he is a couple of days away, but that still puts tomorrow in jeopardy, and he still is doubtful. They want to see how he will react tomorrow and how the body reacts really after the first practice that he's been able to go through and actually getting the 3-on-3. And they want to see if he's sore tomorrow before making any kind of change in designation.
JD, always a pleasure. We hear athletes talk after the game, and a lot of times it's just, they just say things. They don't actually mean them. But I thought Draymond Green played his tail off, and to hear him come to the podium, I mean, he went 37-9-8, but to hear him say he was a reason that they lost, he didn't bring his A game, was that just tongue-in-cheek to you, or could you kind of construe those numbers and have him as a culprit like he didn't have his best game?
Well, the offensive numbers are what kept them in the game, but he said he was awful defensively. He pointed to a guy like Al-Farouq Aminu, who the Warriors really let get rolling. And they obviously want him to be able to take a few shots from the outside. But once he's hitting them, it became an issue where, he was getting run by. And he said that he didn't have the defensive intensity or focus that he needed with a guy like Aminu. And I think it's somewhat understandable because there's times where Aminu kind of guards himself. He'll make some foolish plays. He'll turn the ball over. He's not really sure what he wants to do with it. If his three-point shot isn't falling, he can struggle. Well, last night, his three-point shot was falling. He was 4-for-5, and then he was able to drive and get to the basket for some easy ones and a couple of dunks as well. So that becomes an issue. And I think, just in terms of the vocal leadership, the intensity level early in the game, he said a couple of times, and I'm quoting him, he said, "I didn't lead my troops." And I think the Warriors had an opportunity early in the game yesterday in the first quarter to snuff out the entire series. But because they were a little bit slow in getting to some rebounds, because they weren't quite engaged in the hustle game, their lead at the end of the first quarter was 6, when frankly it could have been double digits and probably should have been double digits. And at that point, you got to wonder if the Blazers even get it rolling at all, and we may be talking about a 3-0 series. So to me, it was more of an overall tone thing as far as Draymond as the emotional leader of the team. And I think he saw, and he even said it, he saw some doubt in the Blazers early in the game. They were right there to be taken out of the series, but now they're a handful. They're a much better team at home. Their role players play better at home, and the Warriors are in for what could be a long series.
Our super correspondent, John Dickinson, joins us. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, here on 95.7 The Game. He's live in Portland, and I want to ask you about that crowd, because we talk about Roracle and with the team getting better, maybe some of the diehard fans getting priced out. But in terms of atmospheres, of all the arenas that you've been to, all the stadiums, all the crowds that you've seen, that's really their only pro team up there, JD. How insane is that Portland crowd?
It's awesome. And honestly, if Oracle's number one, I think Portland might be number two in the NBA. It's got a great vibe. And you're right, it is the only, you know, pro team in town among the major four sports. And I think it really is about the game there, too. If you watch, you know, just one of the things that I love, you know, they're out there early. They've got a huge plaza out in front of the arena. It was very much a party-like atmosphere. But if you're watching the game, even at home or in the studio, they'll go possessions, you know, on in, multiple possessions where they don't even play a prompt for the crowd. They won't even play a beat. They won't be playing music. It's just kind of the game and the crowd, which I think is fantastic. You know, it's something that you just don't see a lot. You know, there's always got to be some kind of beat playing or some kind of, you know, something telling the crowd what to do. You know, some kind of cheer. But in Portland, they dial that back. And when they do it, it's real smooth, too. They don't get carried away with it. I think they do a really nice job engaging the fans, and the fans love their team. And I think it's a tremendous atmosphere. It's a little bit different than Oracle. I think Oracle's got a little bit more of an edge to it. I think Portland has more of a joy. There's a joy, but a knowledgeable crowd as well. I mean, they're on the officials, you know, here and there, and I know the Warriors are on the officials too, but they show the replays, you know, multiple times if they feel that they didn't get a call, so they want to get the crowd riled up after the fact that they actually show replays both ways, which I think is cool, and they don't do that in a lot of other arenas. They want to make sure that everybody sees what exactly happened. It's great up here. I can't say enough quality things, obviously.
JD, a lot of people didn't criticize Stotts like I thought he should have, criticism he should have received for staying with Plumlee. Last night I'm at the house watching the game with the kids, and it's like you were there because I follow you on Twitter, and here comes a tweet. Then you mentioned that Stotts may have found some players or a rotation that he might be more comfortable with going forward. And Amino, to me, kind of, I would love to see him on the Dubs, but my point, JD, he seems to be a bit of a matchup problem, and I didn't see Plumlee in at the end. Do you think they've gained some momentum going forward in that regard?
Well, here's the other thing that happened, too. Mo Harkless got hurt, and I know Harkless has been a guy that they've used to defend Klay Thompson, and I think that is critical, but the problem that the Blazers were having was that Plumlee was getting destroyed. I mean, Plumlee looked like a second baseman that couldn't throw the ball to first in the paint, or a catcher that can't throw the ball back to the pitcher after strike one in the paint. But here's the thing. The Blazers were in trouble. They couldn't play Aminu and Harkless and Plumlee, all three of them together, because there just isn't enough offense, even if you've got McCollum and Lillard. And one of the things that you saw when Harkless went out is he went to Gerald Henderson. And Gerald Henderson's a much more skilled player than both Harkless and Aminu. And I think what you've seen is Aminu is the guy that can play with the Warriors because he's a smaller guy that plays long and he's athletic. So Aminu's the one guy of all three of those, Plumlee and Harkless, that's got the best shot to stay on the floor. The key, though, has been that he's found other players that can play on the floor with Aminu as well that are bothering the Warriors. And I think Ed Davis is a guy that bothers the Warriors some, and I think they need Allen Crabb and also Gerald Henderson on the floor because those two guys are more skilled, and then Davis can just get on the glass. Now, they let Draymond Green get open from three, but a lot of that was the game plan. They wanted to see if Draymond could hit a few before changing it up. So that's why it looked like maybe Ed Davis was falling asleep a little bit on Draymond. Long story short, they've got five guys, I think, now that they can play as almost a closing lineup or a go-to lineup. And it's Lillard, McCollum, Crabb, and then Gerald Henderson and Aminu. Those five guys I think, are key for the remainder of this series. But the other thing to keep an eye on, though, too, is with Plumlee not giving them a ton and Harkless being injured, at this point, they're also running out of guys. And that was a big focus of the Warriors today, being at practice. The Warriors feel like they need to make the Blazers work more on the defensive end so they're have less in the tank later in the game, and the shooters in particular have less in the tank later in the game because they're running out of players, honestly. They're playing eight, and they really are playing like seven now with Harkless down.
John Dickinson on Twitter, at JD John Dickinson. Tune in 5 to 8 special version of NBA This Week with Matt Steinmetz. That's coming up after us. Appreciate the time. Live from Portland. Enjoy. Are you staying there for tomorrow, too?
Yeah, I'll be there tonight, and then shoot around tomorrow, and then the ball game tomorrow, and then I'll be headed back on Tuesday.
Awesome. Enjoy, JD.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.